Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHER are out to change that. InvestHERCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHERCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHERCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHER, H-E-R, con.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
Figuring out what you're really good at, what your skills are, what you enjoy doing and focusing there, and then surrounding yourself with people that can do the things that you're not so great at or that you don't know as much about. And so I think it really comes down to the people that you surround yourself with, finding the right people to work with.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we are joined by Josh Green. Josh is based in Salt Lake City, Utah. He is an investor and capital raiser. His company, Alchemy Design and Development, is an infill development company in Utah. And his company, Traverse Capital, is a real estate education and capital raising firm. Josh's current portfolio consists of two value-add apartment buildings, one co-working office building, five build-to-rent development sites, and one short-term rental site. Josh, tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're currently focused on.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. So my background, my first real job in real estate was in a multifamily appraisal and consulting. So I started as a research analyst and just kind of worked my way up, mostly here in Utah, all multifamily based. And we did a little bit in surrounding states and kind of got burned out of being an appraiser. Everyone's kind of mad at you all the time. And it's kind of a grind to make a living at being an appraiser. But it was a great experience. And I really loved the consulting side, working with developers, helping them figure out what to do with their property and helping them design a project. And after a while, I realized I was on the wrong side of those transactions. I would see these developers take this kind of blueprint that I gave them, go build it, sell it, and they were making a lot more money than I was as a consultant. And so I decided I needed to get into development. And I went back to school here at the University of Utah. I did the Master's of Real Estate Development degree there. Got recruited to go work for a developer after I graduated here locally. It was an infill developer, so we did everything from three-unit townhomes all the way up to 200-plus unit apartment properties. And always wanted to do my own thing. And so a couple of years ago, kind of after COVID, decided it was now or never and quit my job and started this company and have been just working on these deals ever since.
Nice. So your focus now, is it all built to rent developments around Salt Lake City?
It is. We've decided to focus there for a lot of reasons, but yeah, they're all townhomes for rent. They're all smaller communities, 20 to 30 units is what we have in our pipeline so far. And we don't really want to do anything bigger than maybe 100 units max. We kind of like that kind of sweet spot. And we look for areas in Utah where there's a lot of population and employment growth and where the supply hasn't quite caught up. So yeah, we're up and down the Wasatch Front, we call it here in Utah. We're up and down the Wasatch Front with our projects.
Gotcha. Now, is this build to rent single family or multifamily?
These are attached townhomes. So we do mostly three bedroom urban style townhomes with the one or two car garage on the main floor, living room on the second floor, and bedrooms on the third floor.
Gotcha. Josh, this is kind of a broad question, but why is it that this is your focus? What is it that makes these attached urban style townhome developments the best investment for you right now?
That's a really good question. And there's a lot of reasons why. I think, especially after COVID, people being cooped up in their apartments downtown, the feedback that I got being in development at the time was that people wanted some more space and were willing to move a little bit outside of the city to have a little bit more room. So townhomes are really great for that, especially here in Salt Lake. The rent for a townhome a little bit outside of the city with a lot more space and attached parking was costing about the same as one of the new Class A apartments downtown. So for a lot of people, it was a natural move into a little bit bigger space. And being here in Utah, everyone goes up to the mountains on the weekend. And so everyone's got a car, everyone's got skis. And so townhomes work really well for that, storing all your equipment in your car to get up to the canyons on the weekends. We look at projects, what's the highest and best use and what gives us the biggest bang for our buck. And really the simplicity of building townhomes, you won't get the same density as you would a more traditional apartment project, but they're easier to build. We can lease up buildings as we build through the project. We're not waiting for the whole building to be finished to move people in. And I think people just generally like it's more a home feel. And with the home prices where they are in Utah, we just got ranked as the most least affordable places to live. So it's a good alternative.
Sorry, the most least affordable?
Maybe I said that. We're on the list for least affordable cities. Confusing how I said that, but it's weird for someone that born and raised here to be on the list of least affordable cities in the country. So townhomes are a good option for people that would otherwise be looking to buy a starter home, and they just can't because of where prices are and where interest rates are. So we can provide new townhomes, new construction, professionally managed and maintained, at a cost that's actually less than what they would be able to buy a townhome for.
I have more questions about these infills, but I feel like I want to have a better understanding of the ownership group in general. How is it that you all are structured? Is this a syndication?
Yes, we've done these projects so far as individual project syndications. So we have the development arm, which is my company. One of my partners is an architect. And so he designs all these projects for us, takes them through entitlements. And then I wear a couple different hats on the development side, but then on the capital raising side and investor management side through Traverse Capital is where we do the capital raising through syndications to fund these projects.
That makes sense. So for the ownership group, your targeted returns, are they IRR driven? What is it that you're looking for returns wise?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've worked with institutional type investors where it's all IRR driven, and I've worked with mom and pop investors, and they're kind of two different metrics. And so, you know, being these are smaller projects here locally in Utah, our investors are more kind of friends and family, high net worth individuals, doctors, dentists, things like that. And IRR, I think, is less intuitive for a lot of those people in our investor pool. So we look more at things like cash on cash or equity multiple. We focus a lot on the tax benefits for, you know, how some of these high earning individuals can offset some of their individual taxes through these investments.
Are you targeting a sale of each of these portfolios or neighborhoods kind of around year five?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Very good guess. We model these as 5-year holds. Personally, I would love to build and keep everything forever, basically, but our investors have a shorter investment time horizon. So we model these as 5 years. We'll build it, stabilize it, refinance if it makes sense with where rates are, and then in year five, we'll sell it.
Gotcha. I'm not like a wizard or anything. It's just that the vast majority of value add business plans are on a 5-year hold period, especially when they're IRR driven, even if you're not calling it IRR. If you're calling it average annual return or equity multiple, whatever it is. I really want to ask one question 4 or 5 different ways, Josh. Okay. Let's see how this comes out of my mouth. What I want to ask is, why build to rent? Why not just sell them? The reason for the question, I understand the motivation that a lot of investors are coming from, especially because the value add targeted 5-year hold, IRR driven syndication model is so popular. However, the first thing that comes to mind for me, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Maybe Salt Lake City is very different from all of the markets that I'm familiar with. But as you're building nicer and nicer units, the delta between market rents and property value starts to separate in favor of property value, where the return on your equity or the return on the value of the asset that you're getting from either NOI or gross rents, however you calculate it, greater and greater favors selling the asset, getting your appreciation out of it, and then having that liquid that you can redeploy later, as opposed to leaving it an asset where your return on equity is not going to be as good. So why not go ahead and sell as soon as they're developed, as opposed to holding them for 5 years?
That's a really good question. And it's something we think about on every one that we do. The other thing is we could build and sell these as individual units. And we've gone back and forth on whether we do that or not, and whether we plot them for sale as individual units or not. And some we do and some we don't. And there's pros and cons to each of those. But I think what you're asking is, why not just build it and sell it as soon as it's finished? And it's a good question. And I think part of it is our investors, like I mentioned before, they really like the tax benefits of the depreciation, holding it long term. So I think that's part of it. There is some cash flow also that comes from operating the property and hopefully paying down debt and appreciation, all those other things that come with a longer term hold. But it is something we think about on every project. Does it make sense just to build it and sell it and move on to the next one, or hold it?
One of the places that my question about why not go ahead and sell, one of the places I'm coming from here, Josh, is that especially when you're looking at internal rate of return and how long it takes to return investors' capital and realize the gains, the profits from sale, you'll see the IRR goes up the earlier you sell for the same profit, in a way that equity multiple and some of the other metrics don't. What I'm thinking to myself is, if I were in your shoes, Josh, the faster I can return my investors' capital, the more excited they will be to, for lack of a better way to put this, give it back to me for more deals.
Yeah.
So I could revolve that capital and reap the rewards of the operation of the business plan, which is taking vacant or should be vacant land and turning it into these townhomes. It would allow me to accelerate the speed with which I can execute on the business plan and multiple projects in multiple areas. Is that part of your math? Is that part of how you're looking at this? Is how quickly you can recycle capital and find new deals, possibly the lack of opportunity in your market to find new infill locations?
Part of the way that we pitch these to our investors is, we're not locking ourselves into, we have to hold it for 5 years and sell it. That's kind of how we present the returns, but we've left enough flexibility there that if it makes sense for us to sell it sooner, we have that flexibility to do that. Same goes for refinance. If it makes sense for us to refinance it somewhere along the way, pull out and return a big chunk of investor capital, we have the flexibility to do that. I guess the five-year hold is kind of the baseline that when we go out to our investors, we say, here's our general idea. We obviously want to take advantage of the market the best we can, whether that could be an early sell, that could be a refinance. We try to leave it as open as possible. I have a mentor that says, you go to the next step and then see what your options are. And so our first step is building them, getting them stabilized, and then we see what our options are there. And we just kind of take it a step at a time. So yeah, what you're asking is a really great question. And we have the flexibility within our partnership to be able to sell earlier if it makes sense to do that.
We'll get back to the show. But first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is there is one. It's called Baselane. And it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
You and your partner went out on your own. just a couple or 3 years ago. So I would imagine you haven't gone full cycle and sold an entire development that you built yet. But have you completed the construction of any of your infill neighborhoods or subdivisions yet?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's part of, honestly, just being totally transparent, it's part of the challenge of raising capital for a new venture. And while all of us as on the team have decades of experience doing the same thing, we haven't gone full cycle on one ourselves. And development, it takes a long time to find something, get it approved, build it, stabilize it, and to get it to a point where you're able to sell it. So where we're at right now, only being in business under our own name for a couple of years, is we're just under construction on our first project. And we have a pipeline of other deals in line behind it. But the short answer is no, we haven't taken one under our own name, our own brand, full cycles yet. We haven't been in business long enough to do that yet.
Yeah, sorry, that's where my question came from. Have you guys been able to complete construction on any of your developments yet?
Not on any of the ground up stuff. So we've got a couple of value add apartments where we haven't sold them yet, but we've done all the updates and work. We bought an old market that we turned into co-working office space. We've got that one finished and operating. But yeah, we haven't finished anything and actually sold it yet.
Thus far, Josh, thinking specifically about the deals that you and your partners have done on your own, these are fairly complex business plans to execute on, certainly more complex than the vast majority of value-add multifamily types of deals. What has been more complicated or more difficult than you expected, and what's been simpler or easier?
Oh, that's a good question. City approvals are always take longer, and there's more wrenches thrown into the process than you expect. And so that's always a challenge. And I think we're lucky the municipalities where we work are pretty easy to work with, but there's still things that come up during that process that you don't expect, and you kind of have to work through those things. As far as what's gone better than expected or easier than expected, we have a really great contractor on this project we're building right now, and they're just awesome. They're building faster than we expected. They're catching things as they come up, and they've just been a really great partner. And so the actual construction side has actually been going really smoothly. It's kind of everything up to that point. I would add into that mix, raising capital right now, it's hard to do. And it seems like everyone right now with where rates and everything are, values, is kind of sitting on the sidelines. And so that was a big challenge to raise the capital to go start this first project.
Tell us more about the capital raising component to this. It sounds like you're getting a lot of objections that are really more about the market of the moment than anything else. I know it's just been a couple or 3 years, but have you seen a recent shift in the sentiment among LP investors with regards to the market and with regards to the kinds of opportunities that you're making available?
I mentioned that I'd worked for an infill developer before going out on my own. And that was during the time when every deal was good and every deal was easy, right? And there was just unlimited money almost. In retrospect, deciding to go out on my own when I did, it was a difficult time to do that and to go try to start a new company and raise capital. I think just with interest rates and honestly, with everything that's in the news and it gets reported, I think there's a lot of people nervous about investing in real estate right now, especially where they can get good returns just by keeping it in a money market account. But as far as what I've seen recently, I've had more people reach out more recently being nervous about being so invested in the stock market. And I think there's some nervousness about having all their eggs in that basket and wanting to diversify into something that's a hard asset that they can see, they can feel, they can touch, they can walk through. But yeah, I think a lot of people got really nervous with rates going up and are just sitting on their money waiting to see what happens.
Josh, last question before we transition the episode. The idea of ground up construction is something that I've flirted with. I'm an apartment owner operator based in Cincinnati, Ohio. Value add, burr investor. I like buying stuff, experiencing a lot of distress because it gives me more appreciation to force, more value to add. I've strongly considered moving into business plans very similar to yours. What advice would you have for me and for our best ever listeners who would be interested in executing on ground up, build to rent, infill business plans?
Yeah, great question. And over my career, I've tried to leave to go do this same thing in the past. And the thing that's kept me from being successful at it in the past is not having the right team around me. Something I've learned recently is I really just need to focus on what I'm good at, which is finding deals, underwriting, getting them capitalized, and surround myself with people that are good at all the other pieces. Value add can be just as complicated, but there's a lot of moving parts in development. And so as far as advice, I would say find someone that's done it before and figure out a way to partner up with them, learn from them, and don't be afraid to outsource things that you don't know as much about to other people that are experts in those areas. There's a lot of pieces of it. And one of my mistakes in the past is thinking that I could do everything on my own. And it's really difficult to do that. And so surrounding yourself with people that are experts in what they do, that have done this before, and finding a way to, at least at the start, to partner with them on doing a project. And
that makes a lot of sense. Josh, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yeah, let's do it.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
My favorite book ever that I read every year is The Alchemist. I love it. It's about following your dreams and working through the challenges to get you to where you want to be. And I feel like my career, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners feel the same way, navigating through the challenges to get to where you want to be and doing what you want to do. So I read that book every year. It motivates me.
What is your best ever way to give back?
I love teaching. So I'm lucky to be able to teach a graduate course at the University of Utah, where I went to school in real estate market analysis. We do some events here that are free. We call it Talk About Real Estate, and we just order a bunch of tacos and we talk about real estate and network. And so that's how I love to give back, is through education and through networking and connecting people.
Josh, through the properties that you have acquired with Alchemy Design and Development and with Traverse Capital, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson that resulted from it?
Honestly, I think just not communicating better is maybe a mistake that I've made in the past. And whether that's with our investors or other partners, maybe just not communicating as much information as frequently as they would like. So that's something I'm trying to do better going forward on these new projects, is really making sure that I'm engaging with our investors and doing a good job letting them know what's going on, what the challenges are, how we're working through it.
And what is your best ever advice?
I think just going back to the question that you asked before about what advice would I give to someone wanting to get into development or really anything, is I read the book recently, Who Not How, and it really shifted my focus. So I think it's really figuring out what you're really good at, what your skills are, what you enjoy doing, and focusing there, and then surrounding yourself with people that can do the things that you're not so great at or that you don't know as much about. And so I think it really comes down to the people that you surround yourself with, finding the right people to work with.
Last question, Josh, where can people get in touch with you?
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. You can find me there. Our development website is alchemydev.com. Our Traverse Capital website is thetraverseway.com. You can find my contact information there. But LinkedIn, I'm there all the time. That's a good place to find me.
Those links are in the show notes. Chris, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access and you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.